And I'm reading out of Romans chapter 9. And we'll start in verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor to him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power unto thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Let's all look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for your word tonight, Lord. And we're thankful, God, that you are showing mercy to us tonight, Lord. Your people, Lord, you've reached out to us, Lord. We've been redeemed, Lord. We thank you, God, for all your kindness you've shown each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you for the privilege to gather in your name, Lord. Let's pray to have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name. And it talks about there in verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And I'm going to be reading some out of my footnotes here. I know it's not the inspired word of God, but they are better at wording it than I can, so I just used it. It says, for this verse does not mean that Jacob and his descendants were elected to eternal salvation, while Esau and his descendants were elected to eternal damnation. Rather, it was an election of Jacob's descendants to be the channel of God's revelation and blessing to the world. Observe that according to chapter 9 to 11, the majority of Jacob's descendants failed to carry out their calling and thus were finally rejected by God. Furthermore, those who were not loved, the Gentiles, observed God through faith and became children of the living God. And I think Pastor was touching on this a little bit about the Gentiles and the Jews this morning. And verse 25 here, this chapter says, as he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which are not my people, her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. And I'm thankful that God allowed the Gentiles to come in and be a part of his family just like he did the Jews. He's not any respecter of persons, but any nation, any people that calls out to God and humbles their heart and turns to him, he will bless them and allow them to be a part of his family. And he said also, God intended to show mercy upon those who repent and believe in on Jesus as Lord and Savior, while he hardens all those who refuse to repent and choose to continue in their sins, thereby rejecting salvation in Christ. The purpose of God does not change for any person or nation. And Pastor was talking about this morning, you know, when we get off track, we need to back up and repent, turn, and go back where we lost off with the Lord. And talking about there in Revelations, how we the church says you've left your first love. And I'm thankful that God is reaching out to anyone that will humble their heart and call out to him and live for him. He doesn't turn anyone away. He's willing that all should be saved. In chapter 11, verse 11:32 in Romans says, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. And across the page there on verse 25 says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of the mysteries, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. So all Israel shall be saved, as it's written. there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So he's dealing with the Gentiles right now and the Jews, as we have been taught or heard that they don't believe the Messiah has come yet. They're still looking for the Messiah. But when the rapture takes place, that's the beginning of the tribulation period, and that's when God will once again deal with the Jews, this end of the Gentile age, and there will be many saved during that time. It says, there shall come out, it says, all Israel shall be saved. So they're going to be turning their hearts to the Lord. They're going to realize finally that he was the Savior that they needed all along. And in chapter 9, 18 in Romans there, this, therefore, he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And we can look back in Exodus when God was dealing with Pharaoh, when he sent Moses to lead out his people from bondage. And we turn to Exodus 4 and 21. It says, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go out empty. I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. Chapter 4, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart. Then he said, he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And the Lord knew that Pharaoh was not going to turn the people loose. His heart was already hardened. He was not wanting to cooperate with the Lord. He was contentious towards him and just doing the opposite of what he wanted. And chapter 7 and verse 3 of Exodus, it says, for I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And so it says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was because that when he repeatedly went against God's will, his heart was already turned away from God. It says God hardened Pharaoh's heart as punishment because his heart was already hard and opposed to God. And it doesn't matter who we are. God deals with us all the same fairly and does equitable, shows equity in his judgment. He's not going to show favoritism towards one or another, but he's going to deal with us all the same. And so Pharaoh, when he repeatedly turned against God and his people, God hardened his heart. And it doesn't matter who we are. If we keep turning God away long enough, our heart is going to grow hardened, and we're going to be callous, and we're not going to want to surrender to him. Chapter 8, verse 8 of Exodus, it says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat thee for my servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy house and from thy servants and from thy people, and they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields, And they gathered them together into heaps, and the land stank. And when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. So we had a temporary reprieve, a little relief from the plague that God had sent of all the frogs there. And once again, he reneged on his word. He didn't do this. He said, repeatedly, we know the story, but all these different plagues, the lice, the flies, and you know, all of these things that God sent, constantly Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He turned and did the opposite of what he said he would do. In chapter 9, verse 12, so the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, that thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I might smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. In very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in me thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So he was making an example out of Pharaoh. It was Pharaoh's own willful disobedience to God. He was turning away from him. God didn't force him to do. So he could have repented. He could have obeyed. But he consistently turned away from God. And God hardened his heart as he did each time. And it made it more detrimental to his own self and his people. In chapter 10, says, the Lord said to Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these signs before him. In chapter 11, verse 10, it says, and Moses and Aaron did all the wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. And I'm just kind of highlighting it for the sake of time. There's many more scriptures going along with this, but we see how repeatedly he turned against God. In chapter 12, in verse 29, Exodus, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captives that was in the dungeons, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, that there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron that by night, and said, rise up and go, get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel. Go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. So they were finally to the point, they were tired of dealing with these folks, and they were ready to get them out of town and just turn them loose. And they gathered up their stuff and headed out. And we know later, once again, Pharaoh changes his mind. He's going to go after them and bring them back into slavery. And chapter 14, verse 8, it says, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. And the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and the horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pithhorah before Baal-Zephon. Well, these are some rough names. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. And we know the sea parted, and they marched through on dry land, and God delivered them with a miracle. And then the Egyptians were drowned as the sea closed up on them. And thank the Lord for his miraculous deliverance of this people. And it doesn't matter, you know, he loves us all, and the enemy seems like he's coming in and about to overtake us. The Lord is always there. He never forsakes us. And it looks like the tables are turned against us, but, you know, just stay faithful and hanging on to the Lord, as he's going to be there to deliver. And Proverbs 29:1. Says, he that being often reproved hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So being often reproved hardened his neck repeatedly. His heart gotten calloused and grew hard because he refused to obey the Lord. In Psalm 62 in verse 12. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his word. So it's not God has chosen this one to not make heaven, this one to make it, but it's rather how we respond to him, whether we obey him or not. It says, those who profess to know God need to examine themselves by asking the following question, do I really possess a strong desire for God and his presence in my life? Or do I go through life largely consumed with secular pursuits, worldly entertainment, while prayer, Bible reading, and deep hunger and thirst for God and his righteousness have little place or validity in my life? And I believe I heard Lindsay talking about this morning. No, we need to keep that desire burning in our heart, drawing nigh to God. And we need to stay in prayer and Bible reading and fellowship with him daily. And if we refuse or we slack off, it's on our own fault, and it will cost us in the long run if we continue on that path. In Hebrews 3:7, it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. And we follow that pattern of sin, you know, dabble with it. Your heart will grow hard and you'll be deceived and you'll be led away by the enemy. It says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And I want to hold out to the end. That song Robert chose tonight, I like his song leading. I like all of the song leading here. It's all good. But it seems like each one Robert picks out is my favorite. See, we just got that kindred desire, like in the songs. Everyone he sings blesses me. And it says, chapter 4 in Hebrews, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In verse 7 again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So repeatedly, the Lord's warning us not to let our hearts grow calloused and hard. And verse 11 says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And unbelief is just the opposite of faith. It's putting trust in the enemy instead of God, and that we will fail. And Hebrews 5 and 9 says, for being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So there's one of the keys there, obeying God, believing in him, obeying him, humbling our hearts, repenting is all what we need to do in order to make heaven our home. In Psalms 86 and 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. So there's the key, calling on the Lord. He said he would not turn anyone away that humbles their hearts and calls on him. And James 4 and 6 should be able to quote this. I'm going to turn there, just be safe. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth more grace unto the humble. And that was Pharaoh's problem. He was full of pride. He thought he could overtake God's people and do as he pleased. Who is God? I don't care about him, but he found out who he was, and it was too late to do anything to repent at that point. And God judged him and cost his whole people to be drowned. In Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So it's nothing that we do to earn that salvation. We can't do anything, good works or otherwise, to obtain it. But it's only God's doing. But yet we have to respond in the proper way when God comes to us and deals with us. We can't keep turning him away and think that we're going to be all right. Eventually, it's going to come to the point, it's going to cost us, and God will judge us. So God, he shows mercy to whom he will show mercy, and it's all based on how we respond to him. So, hurt to you, Pastor.